So what we're talking about is the OL, which works in two different ways. The OL number one brings tumah. So let's say, for example, if there's a mess in an OL and there are kalim in the OL, so the OL brings the tumah from the mess to the kalim or to a person who's in the OL. But then the issue is the OL itself. Does the OL itself contract tumah? And what our Mishnah defines is that anything that comes from a tree, the product of a tree, which here in Rashi is called canvas, which I guess is pretty much the same as what we call canvas, and it's a growth that comes from the ground, such a thing is not makabel tuma, unless with the only exception of pishtan. Pishtan means that they take the fibers of the flax and they process it until they make they can make an oil out of it. And that oil, even though it's the product of a tree, is mekabel tumah. And the Gemara now on the top of Daf Chav Ches Amud Aleph, which is the Daf I want to study today, is going to derive this from what we call a Gzeira Shava of oel oel. So if you take a look on the last line in Chav Zayin Amud Beis, Minayin, Amar Rab Lazar, Gomar oel oel mi Mishkan. That in the case of the Mishkan, the Torah used the word oel, and in the case of Tumas oel, the Torah used the word oel. So we compare the two together. So in the parash of oel, in Chukas, which is the parash of Tumah, in Bamidbar Yutes, it says, Zos HaTorah Adam Kiyomus Ba'Oel. So we have the word Oel. Uksiv Hasam, and in the parasha of Mishkan, in Shmos, Perek Mem, which is the Mishkan built by Moshe Rabbeinu, it says, Vayifros Es HaOel Ala Mishkan. So the word Oel appears here in the Mishkan. So the Gemara says, Ma lahalan, just like in the case of the Mishkan, Shel Pishtan Kari Oel. So anything that comes, a product of the tree, of the wood, would not be an Oel. We're going to see about the Krushim in a minute. The Krushim, although they were made of wood, that's not the Oel. The Oel is only the covering on top. And we're going to discuss three different layers of covering that went on top of the Mishkan. And the bottom level, the first level of color of covering, is made of Pishtan. And in the Torah's language, it's not called Pishtan, it's called Shesh. So Shesh is the biblical word for flax. And the Torah says that the curtains, there were 10 curtains that were made of flax that were used as the lower, the first level covering of the Mishkan, and that's called by the Torah Ohel. Afkan here too, in the case of Tumas Ohel, Shel Pishton Kori Ohel. If you make a covering out of flax, then let's say there's a mess underneath that covering, then the covering itself contracts tumah. But if it was made of another substance of wood, then it would not contract tumah. Again, it conveys tumah. In other words, any oil conveys tumah as long as it covers the area, but it doesn't itself contract tumah if it's made from wood, if it's a product of wood, of eitz, unless it's pishtan. That's the only exception. So let's read the pasuk referring to Mishkan. The pasuk says in Perek Chavav of Sefer Shmos, it says, "V'es haMishkan taseh eser yirios sheish mashzar," and the word sheish means pishtan. So the covering, if you want to call it the roof, of the Mishkan, which had many different coverings, the bottom of it, the bottom covering, the first covering of the Urios, were made of Chutei Pishtan. Now, in addition to Chutei Pishtan, these Urios were made of other materials, but those materials did not come from the product of wood. For example, there was Tcheles, which came from a certain chilazon, a certain kind of a something that grows in, on the beaches. And then there were things that were made of tzemer, of wool, and those were called argaman, utolashoni. All of these, together with pishtan, were used to make the coverings over the ohel, the first covering of the ohel. The second level of covering of the ohel was made of the wool taken from goats. That's called tzemer izim. And the top layer of the covering over the Mishkan was made, it was called ma'oros elim ma'domim. They came from animals, an animal, a certain kind of a ram, and they took the skin, and from the hide of the ram, they made ma'oros tchoshim. So there was elim and tchoshim. We're not exactly sure what tachash is. Maybe it's a miraculous animal at the time of the Mishkan. But in any event, that was the top level. The top, what's called mechseh, on the outer layer of the Mishkan. So those are the three layers. So the only thing that was the product of eitz was pishtan. Okay. So the Gemara asks the following kasha. E malahalon, if you're going to derive from Mishkan, then let's take a look at this thing called Sheish. And Sheish, which we said is Pishtan, is described by the Torah as Mashzar. Mashzar means Shazur. Shazur means that they took various fibers of the flax and they intertwined them in order to make threads. And not only that, the Torah says, Chutan Kaful Shisha, there were six different threads that were twisted, that were braided together, and they were used for the covering of the Mishkan. So if we're going to go with this equation between Mishkan and Oel for Tumas Mes, then Afkan here too in the case of Tumas Oel, we're going to have to limit it not just to Pishtan, if it's Yotzev and Eitz, but it's got to be Pishtan that's Shizur and Kafel Shisha. Is that possible? We don't know that only an Oel that was made in that way would qualify as an Oel. Talmud Lomar, so we have to say that this limitation, so to speak, is going to be derived from Oel Oel. What does it mean, Oel Oel Reba? So what does it mean, Oel Oel Reba? In the Parsha of Tumas Mes, that's by Midbar Chukas Perek Yutes, the word Oel appears many, many times, and that's called a Ribui. And that comes to include any type of pishtan, even if it's not mashzar, and even if it's not chutin kafel shisha. Fine. So now the Gemara asks the following kasha: E O L O L Reba is afilu kol milinami. Maybe when the Torah uses the word O-L multiple times in the Parsha of Tumas Mes, the Ribui is not to tell you what kind of pishtan, and simple threads of pishtan would also qualify as an ohel and would receive tumah. Maybe it's coming to include other kinds of materials which means an OL that's made from materials that were not used in the Mishkan. So the Gemara says, "Im Kain, if that be the case, then Gzeira Shava Mai Ahanile." We have to. So a Gzeira Shava is something that's given through the Mesorah, through the transmission of Torah. It has to be teaching me something. Now, if you're telling me that since the word Oel appears multiple times in the Parsha of Tumas Oel, therefore any kind of Oel would be included in this parasha, then we didn't learn anything from the Mishkan. Obviously, the Gzeira Shava from the Mishkan, in order to be meaningful, has to limit the Oel of Tumas Mes, because it has to be correspondent and similar to the OL of Mishkan. It's got to in some way limit the OL. So what do I do with the Gzeira Shava, and what do I do with the Ribui? Right, we have OL Ribui, on the other hand we have the Gzeira Shava. The Gzeira Shava is to limit and to exclude, and it's got to be similar to Mishkan. And the OL Ribui tells me that it doesn't have to be similar to Mishkan. So how do we reconcile this? So the Gemara suggests that we reconcile in the following way. That Ol Mi Mishkan, that Gzeira Shava is teaching me it's got to be Pishtan. Because that was the only Yotzim and Eitz that was used as a covering for the Mishkan. That's number one. On the other hand, the Ribui of Ol is going to teach me it doesn't have to be exactly like it was in the Mishkan. We're not going to ask the question, what were the threads, how did they make them, and what were they made of, and it's got to be Mashzar and Shisha Kaful. Because Ol Ribui tells me that any kind of Ol, no matter how you make it from Pishtan, is going to be Makabel Tumah. So the Ribui of Ol in the Parsha of Tumas Ol is telling me that it doesn't have to be exactly like the Mishkan, but it has to be the same material as was used in the Mishkan to make the Ol of that first layer of covering over the Mishkan. And the only Ol that came from Eitz is going to be Pishtan. Now the Gemara asks the kasha that we hinted at before, the Ema, Malal and Krushim, Afkan, Krushim. When we have an equation between Ol and Mishkan, why are we limited to the coverings over the Mishkan? What about the Krushim themselves? Right, what we call the Defanos of the Mishkan, the walls of the Mishkan. They were made from wood and not from specifically flax. And we can have the equation between Ol and Tumas Mes and Ol in Mishkan, and we conclude anything similar to the Krushim of the Mishkan, which is basically made of wood. So the Gemara is now going to try to prove that the Krushim is not called an Ol. The word Ol is going to be specifically used to the covering over the Mishkan, not the structure of the Mishkan, which is made up of the beams of the Mishkan. Amar Kra, the Torah says, again we're in Shmos Perek Chavav, V'asisa Krushim La Mishkan. It means the Krushim are for the sake of the Mishkan. But it's not the Mishkan itself. It's interesting, the Lamed here in Hebrew grammar is going to play a major role. When you use A for the sake of B, and the Lamed tells you for the sake of Krushim La Mishkan, what you're telling me is that A and B are two separate entities. So it says Krushim La Mishkan for the sake of the Mishkan. So there's Mishkan Kari Mishkan, is something which is called a Mishkan. And we'll see that the Torah, when it describes Mishkan, it speaks about the Urios of Sheish Moshezar, the 10 Urios that were made of flax. Those curtains are called Mishkan. But Ein Krushim Kari Mishkan, because it says Krushim La Mishkan. So therefore, the word Krushim would not refer to Mishkan. Krushim and Mishkan are two separate entities. So the Mishkan itself, which is called an Oel, that refers to the Urios, but the Krushim, which serve for the Mishkan, are not called the Mishkan. And the Torah describes the Mishkan as Oel Moed. So the word Mishkan refers to Oel, and the assumption is that the Urios, which cover the Mishkan, they make the Mishkan into an Oel. And the Oel equals Mishkan, Mishkan equals Oel, and that's Dafka Sheish Mashzar, the Mashzar meaning fibers of flax, threads made of flax. The Gemara says, Elamiyata, if you're looking at the word, at the letter Lamed, if that's your key of keys, then take a look at the following Pasuk. This is also in Shmos Chavav. It says, V'yasisa Michse La Oel. And the end of the Pasuk says, Oros Elim Adamim Michse Oros Tchashim Milamal, etc., etc. So it means create a covering for the sake of the Oel. So you see that the covering in the Oel with that Lamed are two separate enterprises. Hachinami, let's apply the same logic that Michse Lo Ikri Oel. Right, the Torah says Michse La Ohel. So the covering is not identical or not defined by the Torah as an Ohel. And therefore, this Gezeirah Shavah, which is going to tell you that the Michse Ohel in the base in the Mishkan was made up of Sheish Mashzar. So then it's not really fair to call that an Oel. You know, you just finished saying that Krushim is not called an Oel because it says Krushim La Mishkan for the sake of the Mishkan. So that's two separate entities. When we get to Oel, it says Michse La Oel. So the Michse La Oel would indicate that the Michse and the Oel are two separate entities. So if you're creating a Gzeirah Shavah between Oel and Oel, what gives you the right to say that the covering over the Oel is called the Oel, and hence derive the conclusion that just like the Michse, which is the Oel in Mishkan, is made up of Pishtin, therefore the Oel in Tumas Mes is also Pishtan. Now, at this point, the Gemara is going to raise the following possibility, and this is all part of the Gemara's argument. The Gemara says, "Maybe you'll tell me that this is true. In other words, that let's say, for example, Oros." Of these various animals that we mentioned, the Elim and the Tchashim, the skins, the hides of these animals, it says V'yasisa Michse La Ohel. So we're saying that those hides of those animals, which is called in the Torah Michse Oros Elim Adamim, etc., Michse Oros Tchashim, is La Ohel, which means that is something separate from the Ohel. Is then Elohad de Boy Rabbi Lazar or Behemoth Mea Maushi Yitma Beola Mes? You make an Oel out of the hides of a non kosher animal. And Rabbi Elazar vacillates back and forth about the status of that Oel that's made of non kosher skins. Now, if he's only asking about non-kosher skins, whether they constitute an Oel, that implies that it was absolutely simple or certain in his mind that if you take skins of a kosher animal, that would certainly constitute an Oel and would be Mekabel Tuma. But you just finished telling me that in the case of the Michse, made up of animal hides, La Ohel, the mikseh is not called an oel. Hashta arbe matahara lo mitame. If you're going to tell me based on your diuk from the lamid that lo oel sets up the mikseh as something separate from oel, then what you're going to tell me is that that mikseh, which is again skins from animals, in this case kosher animals, does not constitute an oel, and lo mitame, it's not susceptible to tumah. Is arbe mitmeh mi boy? Why would Rabbi Lozer have a suffix about a non-kosher animal? If a kosher animal is not called an oel, if you make it all out of the skins of a kosher animal, then certainly I would assume that a non-kosher animal is not closer to being an oel than a kosher animal. Excuse me. So we see clearly, without a doubt, that the skins of an animal make up an oel. Again, it could be it's only a kosher animal, fine. But the skins, the hides of an animal, if used as a covering, that is called an oel. And in the Mishkan, therefore that mikseh made up of those animal hides is called an oel, despite the lamed of la oel. So how do we reconcile this? Because in the case of Krushim, we say it's la oel, or la mishkan, and therefore it's not the oel itself. But in the case of the hides, we're going to say that for sure is makabel tuma as an oel. What's the difference between la and la, right? The lamed and the lamed. So the Gemara says, shani hasam, the case of the mikseh, which again, as we said, the mikseh la oel is made up of hides of an animal. That's different. Why? And the Gemara says, forget about the lamed of la oel. That doesn't bother me. The hadar ahadre kra, because there's another pasuk that puts the oros and the mikseh made of the oros back into the category of oel. So again, on the one hand you have la oel, which takes these hides outside of the parameters of oel. On the other hand, I have another pasuk that puts it back into the category of oel. And this pasuk, which is at the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, is addressing what we call the Avodas Halevim, right? The Mishkan had to be carried from place to place during the 40 years through the wilderness. And the pasuk says, V'nasu es yirios ha-mishkan v'es oel moed. Now, the Levim, right, they would divide up into three different families, and they would carry the Mishkan. And it says, V'es oel moed, and then it says, Michseu u'michse atachas asher olav. Now, between the phrase Oel Moed and the word Mechseyu, etc., is a comma. I think it's called in fancy English an appositive phrase, right? When you say, you, Ira, right? Or John, my brother John, right? So it's a comma between my brother and John. So you read it like this, Oel Moed, comma. And what is the Oel Moed? It's Mechseyu. It's the coverings over the Mishkan. This is referring to the Arios HaMishkan. And the Arias HaMishkan here refers to the immediate bottom covering, what's called the Mikseh HaTachton, which is made up of Pishton and also of wool. And the Torah calls it Oel Moed. In other words, the Arios are called Oel Moed. Is Makish... Now, wait a second. I missed on one point here. This Pasuk actually combines together all three levels of covering. The Mishkan had three different levels. It has the Arios HaMishkan, that's the lowest level, that's made, as we said before, Pishton and Tzemer. Then it has the Oel Moed, which is the Arios HaIzim, that are made from the wool on the back of goats. That's the next level of Arios HaMishkan. And then the Pasuk says, Michse Atachash Sher Olav. That's a reference to what we call the Oros Elim Utchoshim that were on top of the Rios of Ezim. That's the highest covering, the outside covering. But they're all equated in the same Pasuk, and they are called Oel, Oel Moed. Makish, we have a Hekish between Elyon, which again the Oros on top, Letachton, which include the Rios of Ezim, and the Urios that would have made of Pishton and Semer. Ma Tachton Kori Oel, Af Elyon Kori Oel. So everything together is called Oel. And the final definition or name is Oel Moed. And the Oel Moed is the sum total of all the different kinds of Urios that cover the Oel. So here the Torah is telling you that Pishton, which is part of the mixer of the bottom Urios, the first level Urios, is called Oel, because it's all part of this Hekesh, this whole, you know, three-tiered covering. Is that means that the Torah now takes Michse and puts it back into the definition of Oel. And all these three coverings are called Oel. And therefore we know now, when we go back to Oel, in the Parsha of Tumas Oel, and we have again the Zerah Shavu Oel, it means that the Tumas Oel is made from, or could also be made from, Pishtin, which is the only product of the tree that would constitute an Oel as far as receiving Tumah. Again, we're not talking about transferring Tumah. As far as transferring Tumah as an Oel, then we have a broad spectrum of different materials, and many of them come from eights, like we mentioned, canvas. But the canvas itself would not be mekabel tumah. It would not need hazah on shlishi and shvi with mechatos, etc., etc., because it would not contract tumah insofar as it's yotzim and eitz and it's not pishta. So that's what we have so far. Now the Gemara wants to go back to the suffolk of Rabbi Lazar as far as our behema tmeya is concerned. So this daf that we're learning today has very little to do with Masech de Shabbos. We're really learning taros. We're learning about Tumah v'Tara. Now, what's it doing in Masech de Shabbos? It's fascinating how it crept in from the back door, because our perek is addressed to which wicks and oils are either qualify or disqualify for the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos. And the Mishnah establishes that if you make a wick out of this kind of canvas, out of some sort of yotzim and eitz, then that wick, which is called in Hebrew a psila, or in modern Hebrew they call it ptila, cannot be used. It's not qualified for Ner Shabbos because the flame jumps up and down. It's not a steady flame, unless you make it from Pishton. So the only wicks that come from the product of a tree and can qualify for Ner Shabbos are called Pishton. Once the Mishnah mentions this principle of Kol Yotzim and Eitz, Ein, etc., Ella Pishton, so it says that as far as the Tumas Oel is concerned, Kol Yotzim and Eitz, Eina Mistame, it doesn't become Tome, Bitumas Oel, Ella Pishton. That's the basic bridge that justifies this whole sugya of Tumah v'Tara here in Masechta Shabbos. You know, before I started learning fast pace, I was mostly completely cut off from areas of Tumah v'Tara, and also to some extent from areas that are related to Zroim, like Kilayim and so forth. But once you start learning, like Gemaras, you know, Kisei there. So, for example, when the Rav Zichron Levracha taught Masechta Shabbos, he was focused on the Melachos of Shabbos, or on Muktzah on Shabbos, or on Bishul on Shabbos. But these sugyas didn't even appear on the table. But if you're learning, you know, Kisei there, then you have no choice.
gufa.
So boy, Rabbi Elazar Orbe, Mitmeya Maushi Yitma Tumas Olholim, what's the status of a hide that comes from a non-kosher animal? Is it Mekabel Tumas Olholim? So Gemara says, my komi boyle. What is the fundamental point of the suffix of Rabbi Elazar? Why is he vacillating on this point? We have the Gzeres Shava from Mishkan. That means that only those types of materials that we use to create the oil of the Mishkan would be considered an oil as far as Tumas Oholim. And the only kind of materials that we have as far as hides of animals that we use in the Mishkan were only kosher animals, Behema Torah. So, Lechora, based on this understanding, we should assume that since the oil of the Mishkan was made of kosher animals, so then the oil of Tumas Mes, that's Mekabel Tumah, would also only be made, as far as being Mekabel Tumah, of kosher animals. What led him to think that no, that even a non-kosher animal could qualify as an oil? Amar Rav Adbarava, Tachash, Shoyabimei Moshe, Komi Boile. The highest, the outer covering of the top, the ceiling of the Mishkan, was made of Oros Tchoshim, from an animal called the Tachash. And this animal existed at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. What was its status as far as Tumah, as far as Issur B'Heter is concerned? Meaning, if I would slaughter a Tachash, would I be allowed to eat its meat? And Rabbi Elazar didn't know the answer to that question. Is it a min? Is it a species, Tomei Haya? You know, it's like an animal like a swine or something like that that you're not allowed to eat. Otar Haya. Or does it come from a min Behema Torah? He didn't know what the nature of Tachash was. So the Gemara says, I don't get it. We have a universal principle, and this is Nogea to Sefer Torah and to Tefillin and to Kodshim, that Omar Rabbi Yosef Maiti Boile, why is he doubting about this? Tanina, we have a brisa. Lo hukshu l'mlecha shamayim. You cannot use anything from Mishkan, or for that matter, anything that qualifies as melecha shamayim, ela or behema tahor bilvad. You can only use the skins of a kosher animal. So, for example, again, if I give the example of making tefillin, which is also made out of animal skins, out of animal hides, it's got to come from a min tar. So if the Torah tells you to make the oel out of tchoshim, it must be by definition that a tachash is a kosher animal. So what was a suffix to Rabbi Lazar was not a suffix to Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef would certainly assume that the tachash must have been a kosher animal. And if that be the case, then the or of Behema Tmeya could not be an oel as far as Tumas Oholim is concerned. Masiv Rabbi Abba has a brisa that seems to contradict this. How can you tell me that a tachash was a kosher animal? In the parsha of Meleches HaMishkan in Shmos Chavav, we keep coming back to the same parsha, it says, V'yasiso mechseh li'oel oros elim adamim u'mechseh oros tchoshim ilamala. And the brisa records machlokes as to how to interpret this pasuk. Rabbi Yehuda omer, Shnei mechsos hayu, Echad shal oros elim madamim, the echad shal oros tchoshim. So he takes apart the pasuk, and Rabbi Yehuda holds there are two different coverings over here. There's one covering that was made of elim, and another of tchoshim. Rabbi Nechemya omer michsa echad haya. Half of it was made of the skins of elim, and the other half of the skins of tchoshim, and they sewed it together. And Rabbi Nechemya goes on and he says the following, Vidome, and this tachash was similar, Kimin Tla Ilan. Tla Ilan is an animal which comes from the, what's it called, the canine family? Not the canine family. What's it called, the cats?
It's called what, sorry?
Yeah, what kind of species is that? The cat species, you know, like tigers and...
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
I forgot what it's called in English.
Called cats?
Yeah, no, yeah, there's a name for it, though, in English. In any event, this thing called Tla Elon is not a kosher animal. Like, for example, a leopard, right? A leopard is not a kosher animal. It's a chaya, right. Chaya tmeya. And Rabbi Nechemya compares the tachash to this kind of a leopard. And he says it was made up of different colors and so forth and so on. But it would seem that he's considering the tachash as belonging to this family, you know, the cat family, which is certainly chayos tmeos. And that's where Rabbi Abba, who's asking this kashi, finishes up and he says, Tla Elon min tamehu. So therefore comes out, according to Rabbi Nechemya, for sure, and we don't know the Rabbi Yehuda, we reject this, that a tachash is a min behema tmeah. And therefore, Rabbi Yosef's principle, is not really true, because we used for the Melech HaShemayim of building creating the Mikseh of the Mishkan a Min Tomei, and that's what the Tachash is. We see that from the Nechemya. So the Gemara says, no, you're misunderstanding Rab Nechemya. Hachikam, this is what Rab Nechemya means, that the Tachash is Kimin Tola Ilan Hu, in only in one context, that it has many colors. Sheyeshbo, its skin is gvanim harbe. Just like a leopard is made up of different colors, so too the skin of the tachash is made up of different colors. But the lotala elon, he doesn't mean to say that it really belongs to that species, he's only comparing it. Diluhasam in tameu vahacham in tarahu. The tala elon, a leopard, is a non-kosher animal, it's a chayat mea, but tachash is certainly a kosher animal. So the Gemara now brings a little bit of a support to this answer. Omar Rav Yosef, Hachi, now that you've told me that Rav Nechemya only means that tachash is similar to tala elon, because it has a skin that's made up of different colors, now I understand Targumunculus. Why? Heine de Targuminon, the word Tachash, which is written in the Torah, is translated by Unculus as Sosgona. Sosgona means, and now the Samach of Gona, right, of the Sos of Sosgona, is the same as Sheish. Or also sus, right? Because in Aramaic, the samach sometimes replaces a sin. So if you take the two samachs, you can make the word sus. And sus, in this context, means happiness. She sus bigvonim harbe, that the tachash is very, so to speak, proud and very joyous about its many, many different colors. Its multiplicity of colors on its skin. That's what the word sasgona means. I mean, the premise of this Gemara is that Targum Unculus is almost like Torah itself, Kaviyachol. In other words, his translations teach us something about the meaning of the word that we would not know from the text of the Bible, from the word used in the Bible. The Bible says it's tachash. We have no idea what that tachash looks like. But from the Targum, we could at least derive one dimension of what the tachash looks like, and that is that it's a very happy animal. It's a very proud animal, I would say. Well, what gives it the right to be so happy and so proud? And the answer is because it has so many different colors. As far as the min is concerned, what species it came from, here we're going to assume that for sure if it's used in the Mishkan, then it comes from a kosher species. So again, we're still stuck with our original question about Rabbi Lazar, why he vacillated that maybe Tachash is a non-kosher animal. We can't use a non-kosher animal for Melechet Shamayim. So that question is left hanging at this point. Now, I want to quote to you the Chasam Sofer, which is quoted here in the footnote, and he writes that if Tachash would have been Tola Ilon, and Rabbi Nechemiah had meant to say that Tachash is the Tola in Ilon, then basically the Aramaic translation would be Tola Ilon, meaning Tachash is a Hebrew word in the Bible, and if it's Tola Ilon is the Aramaic translation of Tachash, if we assume, which again we're rejecting, that Tachash is Tola Ilon. So the Targum should have said Tola Ilon. The fact that he doesn't call it Tola Ilon means that this creature comes from a different min, and it's not a Tola Ilon. And again, it was created only for the Mishkan, just for that period of time. And it has no other meaning in Lashon Kodesh. There's no other word that we can find in Lashon Kodesh that's similar. Because, again, it only existed at that time. And it doesn't belong to any specific species. And therefore, the Targum had to find some sort of a translation of the word Tachash. So he came to the fact that it's Sas Bitzvah. Okay. Now, Rav Yosef has determined that Tachash is a mintar, and therefore we would certainly exclude an Ar Behemoth Tmeya as far as Tumas Oholim are concerned. Rava Omar, Ar Behemoth Tmeya, Dimitami Biola Mes, Mehacha. There is a source, as we'll see in a brice of Nigei B'godim, for the fact that the skin of a Behemoth Tmeya is Mitame Bioel. This Sanya we learned in a brice. Now for this we have to go back to the parsha of Nigei B'godim, right? If a Beged has certain phenomenon, it manifests certain strange kind of behavior, then we're metami et betumas negoyim, and that's in Parsha in Vayikra Yud Gimel, and we've had long discussions about tumas negoyim here in Masechta Shabbos, and in the Parsha of tumas negoyim, it says O ba'ar, and it could have said R without O ba'ar, so we have this extra pasuk of O. Just one second, I think I made a mistake. The parsha in Vayikra Yud Gimel is the parsha of Shrotzim. If you happen to have a chumash handy, maybe you could help me here by opening a chumash to Vayikra Yud Gimel, if you happen to have it handy. And I think that parsha, if I'm not mistaken, is in Tumas Shrotzim. You'll double check this for me, but in the meantime, let me just go on and assume I'm right, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Well,
where are you?
Vayikra Yud Gimel, Pasuk Memches. Memches. So it's 13, and then 48.
Uh-huh.
And if I'm not mistaken, the context there is about a sheretz. Am I right? Not sure. Okay.
It's not about a sheretz.
Oh, so that's not about a sheretz. Okay, so I think maybe two chapters earlier, you have two Masheretz. Anyway, two Masheretz and two Mas Nigei Bogadim are written near each other in the Torah. So this pasuk is referring to Nigei B'godim. And Nigei B'godim means it has a certain stain that's green or red, right in the Kohen. The Kohen locks up this Beged and all sorts of dinim, but anyway, he checks whether or not this red or green kind of coloring expands or it contracts. And after a certain period of time, which is called Hechlet and Hezger, then if he sees that it still expands, then it is Makabel, he declares it as being Tomei Tumas Negei Begodin. And the Torah in Perek Yud Gimel goes through all the details. Now in our Pasuk, it says O Bishasi O Bi Erev, and it says Lepishtim Ulitzemer, and then it says O Ba'ar. And our Gemara of Rava is trying to interpret what is the ribui here of O Ba'ar, because it could have said O R, so there's an extra base. And what is the base of O Ba'ar coming to teach us? So he says O Ba'ar Riba, it's coming to include something that we wouldn't have included, and that's R Behema Tmea. So if you have the skin of a non-kosher animal, then it becomes Tomei Betumas Negoyim. And then it says Vishaloka Biyad Kohen. Alright, this is a whole new ribui for a different din, and that means that if the nega was generated when the beged came into the hands of the Kohen is now in charge of investigating this phenomenon, this nega, to see whether or not it's a nega, and somehow this new phenomenon came to pass. It manifested itself after the beged came into the hands of the Kohen. So before it came into the hands of the Kohen, it didn't have this particular manifestation, this phenomenon. But nevertheless, the Kohen could be metameit. We would have thought, if not for the extra bays of Be'or, that any nega that is generated or comes to fruition and is visible after the beggar comes into the hands of the Kohen is not guilty, is not mitame tumas negoyim. So that's the ribui. Okay, fine. Then the Brisa says the following: katzatz mikulon. It means that he cuts off any of the following minim, kol aminim. That's mikulon, which means tzemer, pishton, or all of these different kinds of minim, of wool and flax and hides of skins, and he sews them all together or attaches them together. V'yosam en achas. How do we know in such a case this beggar that's made up of different minim is also mekabel tumas negoyim minayin? And the answer is Talmud Lomar. In the next part of the pasuk it says O b'chol meleches or. And that's again a ribui. But the important thing is the first ribui. The first ribui tells you that in tumas nigei batim, even a behemah tmeya, the skin of a non-kosher animal, is included in the parsha of nigei batim. And if that be the case, then we might as well go one step further and make the following association or the following jump. That as far as tumas oholim is concerned, a beged, an oel, that's made of the skin of a non-kosher species is also nitma betumas oel, just like the Torah included the or of behemah tmeya in the parasha of Negoyim, and we equate the or of behemah tmeya with the or of behemah tahora, so too as far as tumas oholim is concerned, we should assume that just like the skin of a kosher animal is nitma betumas oholim, the same din should apply to the skin of a non-kosher animal. And this was the Havamina of Rava, and Rava in his Havamina would give us an answer to our original question, why Rabbi Loza had a Havamina that Or Behemah Tmeya should be Nitma Betumas Oholim, and the answer is he's going to base it on the Ribui in the Parsha of Nigei Begodim, that an Or Behemah Tmeya is included in the Parsha of Nigei Begodim. Now Rava rejects it. He says, Ikol and Mifrach, we cannot derive conclusions from the Goyim As far as general tumah is concerned, for example, that an oel, in the case of a non-kosher hide, ma l'negoyim, negoyim has a chumrah that doesn't exist in tumah. It makes negoyim, nigei bgadim is in a world of its own. We have a breakthrough revolution in nigei bgadim that doesn't apply elsewhere, because in all of law, all the laws of tumah v'tahara, we need what's called a kli or a beged, but not so in the case of nigei bgadim. We don't even need a beged. Why? Shekein shesi v'erev tameh v'hem. The Torah says explicitly that even the shesi and the erev are tameh. If I'm not mistaken, the shesi are the vertical. You know, if you like a tic tac toe, if you have. You have the, I think in English it's called the whoop and the wharf, but don't ask me what that means.
Yeah.
But anyway, it means the wharf means the threads that go this way, up and down, and then you have threads that go across. Now these are threads. They haven't been woven as a beged. They're pretty raw, so to speak. They're in a natural state. And yet, the tumah of nigei bgadim, the Torah says explicitly, applies even to these threads. You know, it's even possible, that's another sugya, that there's nigei batim even before you weave it into threads, even before you make it into threads, even when it's in its natural state, as a fiber. But in any event, there's a chumrah here that is no egg in tumas nigei b'gadim, and it doesn't apply elsewhere in Hilchas Tumah v'Tara. And therefore, when the Torah tells us that even an Or Behemoth Mea is included in the Parsha of Nigei Bgadim, that doesn't surprise me, because there are things that would not be included in any dimension of Tumah V'Tahara, like Shesi V'Arev, which are nevertheless included in the Parsha of Nigei Bgadim. So don't derive any conclusions about Tumah V'Tahara from the case of nigei bgadim, because nigei bgadim applies the tumas nigei bgadim even before it's woven to be a beged. Now, if we get back to the parsha of a dead body, and a dead body is metame an ol, that's only because the ol has been woven into an ol, meaning all the fibers and all the threads have been woven together. But if you only had chutim, if you only had threads, and they weren't yet woven into a beged, then certainly the mess would not be metami then. So just like shesi v'arev would not be applicable to tumas mess, and shesi v'arev would not constitute an ol and be susceptible to tumas mess, so too the case of Or Behemoth Tmeya, even though it's included in Parshas Nigei Bgadim, would not be included in Tumas Mes. So now we have to find a different source for the premise that an Or Behemoth Tmeya would be included in Tumas Mes. Says Rav El Gomar, will derive it from Shrotzim, from the Parsha of Shrotzim. Ah, this is in Vayikra Yud Aleph. Okay, so that's where I made my mistake before. So two chapters earlier, if you happen to still have your Chumash around, and you take a look in chapter 11, which is two chapters earlier than the Parsha of Nigei Bgadim, and you're looking at verse number 29, I believe it is, you'll see in verse number 29 that we're talking about Shrotzim. And we're talking, there are actually eight different categories of Shrotzim that are defined by the Torah. And a Sheretz is called an Avatuma. And the Avatuma has the status, very unique status, of being Metame Adam V'Kelim. And also Ochlin v'Mashkin, but we're not really dealing with Ochlin v'Mashkin, we're dealing with Adam v'Kelim. So let's now ask ourselves the following question. what would be the deal if one of these eight categories of shrutzim would fall onto or jump onto? Let's say it's a dead sheret. So I use the word fall, not jump. That's the jump sounds like it's a lot. So it would fall onto an ar behemah tmeah. Ah, would a sheretz be metame ar behemah tmeah? Desanya, we learned in a brisa with regard to shrutzim in Vayikra Perek Yud Aleph. I'll read the whole pasuk. This is pasuk 32. It says, "V'chol asher yipol alav mehem b'mosam yitma mikol kli eitz o beged o ar o sak." And the word "ar" here, he says in this brisa. Again, if we would have said mikol kli eitz u beged v'ar, that would have been fine. And it says instead, it says o ar. So the word "ar" is superfluous. And we're going to use it as a ribui. And what ribui are we going to tell me? Ainly, I only know that an ar behema tahora is contaminated by sheretz. Ar behema tmeya, but a non-kosher hide. Minayin, how do we know that it's subject to tumah shrotzim? Tamid lomar, or the extra word o. It could have said ve'ar, and instead it says or. And that's coming as a ribui to include the R of Behema Tmeya that would receive and be contaminated by a sheretz. Says Rava, now that we've included an R Behema Tmeya in Tumah Shrotzim, and the sheretz is Metami and R Behema Tmeya, then we should derive the conclusion by analogy that as far as an oil is concerned, if you make an oil out of the R of Behema Tmeya, it also becomes Tame through the mess that's inside the oil, just like the R of a kosher animal. And once again, Rava is going to reject this derivation. Ikal and Mifrach, even in the case of Shrotzin, we have a very revolutionary Chumrah that applies to Shrotzin, and only applies to shrotzim. And that is, shekame tamim bika dasha. Normally the shear for tumah is called a gris, which is a little bit larger. Or for example, in the case of a dead body, the flesh of a dead body, if it's not an etzem, is called a kizayis min ames. A dasha, which is the size of a kernel of barley, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, because it says in the parish of Tumah Shrotzim, again in Vayikra Yud Aleph, in Pasuk Lamed Aleph, it says, "Kol anogeh bahem b'mosam yitmad ha'arev," and bahem sounds like it means shlemim, that something that is complete. So the word mehem, something which is considered shlemim, is going to teach me that if it's kisaora, and you could have a very small sheretz that has the size of an adasha, and yet that sheretz is going to generate tumah shrotzim if it falls onto a utensil. So this halach l'moshe Sinai is included as a general principle that all the shirim are halach l'moshe Sinai. And the shear for a sheretz to be metame is kiadasha, which is a very small shear. So the Torah is being very machmir in the case of tumah shrotzim, and therefore malish shrotzim shekein metamim bekadasha. The Torah was machmir in shrotzim, and therefore the Torah went ahead and said that a sheretz, because of its special power, we'll call it a birya, it's a creation, it's metame when it's dead. Even Bechadasha, it also is Metami, the R of Behemoth Tmeya. But in the case of a mess, you don't know that the mess could be Metame, the R of Behemoth Tmeya, as an oil, because the shear of a mess is the regular shear. It's not Kiadasha. It happens to be the shear of a Kizayas. And therefore, maybe the Torah would be more lenient in the case of a mess inside an oil, if that oil is made from an arbeim tmei, a non-kosher hide, just like the Torah is mekil, that a mess is not mitame bekadasha, it's only mitame with a kizayis. So Rava answers, negoyim yochichu. We're going to now introduce negoyim again, because again, in negoyim, we have the general universal shear of Tumah. We don't have this din of Kiadasha. And Tumas Negoyim is only Bikigris. And a Gris is larger than an Adasha. So we don't have this Chumra of Shrotzim. But on the other hand, if you want to learn from Negoyim, you have a problem because Negoyim has a Chumra of Shesiviore. So whichever way you turn, you're in trouble. Says Rav of Chazar Adin. So this is called a Tzad HaShava, that if you have one pircha from here and one pircha from there, each pircha is separate and unique, then you join forces together and none of these pirchos will undo, so to speak, your Tzad HaShava. So that's called Chazar Adin. So let's go over the Chazar Adin. If you're going to derive from Tumas Negoim Nigei Begadim, so I'm going to tell you there's a Chumra Nigei Begadim of Shesiviore. Now you're going to introduce Shrotzim, because Shrotzim would not be Matami, something that's only Shesiviore, until you take these fibers and you sew them together and you make a Beged out of them. So now you can't derive it from Shrotzim either, because Shrotzim has the Chumra of Kiadasha. So now I'm going to introduce Negoyim, because Negoyim is Pigigris and not Kadasha. Lo Roizeh, Kiroizeh, Velo Roizeh, Kiroizeh. Each one has its own Chumra. The Chumra of Negoyim is different than the Chumra of Shrotzim, and vice versa. And therefore, it means that in both cases that we include an Or Beim Atmeya, it's not the Chumra that causes the Din. That's the purpose of a Tzad HaShava, that it rises above these various Chumras. And Atzad HaShavah Shebehem Sha'or Tomei Bohem, that or, even if it comes, as we'll see in a second, it comes from a non-kosher hide, a non-kosher animal, yet it's Tomei. It's Tomei if a sheretz falls on a non-kosher hide, and a non-kosher hide is included in the parish of Tumas Negoim. Is that Tzad HaShavah Behem Sha'or Tomei Behem Asa Or Behem Atmeika Or Behem Tahora, that Or Behem Atmeya has the same status, and it's Mekabel Tumah from a Sheretz or Tumas Negoim, like a Behem the Or of Behem Atmeya of Behem Tahora, excuse me, is Afani Avi Oel Ames Sha'or Tomei Bo, right, that in the case of Oel Ames, even if the oil is made up, is constituted by a skin of a non-kosher animal, nasabo or beimetmeika or beimetahora, and it's mekabel tumas oil. And now the Gemara is going to slug up even this Tzad HaShavah. Omale Rava mi Barnish. He writes here, Barnish is the name of a city in Bavel. So this is a different Rava. And he says, the Ravashi, Ikal Mifrach, we can slug up the Tzad HaShavah, which means that we can find a common Chumra to both Shrotzim and Negoyim. Mal Tzad HaShavah Shebahen, in both Negoyim and Shrotzim, Shekein Tmeim Bipachos Mikizayis. Tomer b'mes she'ena mitame ela b'kizayis. In other words, when we set up the shiurim for Tumah, let's put Adasha and Gris on one side of the equation, one side of the scale, and let's put Kizayis on the other side of the scale. In Mes, we need, for the power of the Mes to generate Tumah, we need a Kizayis of the flesh of the deceased, which is a larger shear than both Kadasha and Kigris. Adasha and Gris are both smaller than a shear of Kizayis. So therefore, when we compare this, what comes out is that both Shrotzim and Negoim have a chumrah, a common chumrah, vis-a-vis Tumas Mes. And therefore, the Gemara says that now that we rejected the Tzad HaShov of Negoim and Shrotzim, we're going to have to find an entirely different source for Tumas Oholim in the case of Or Bei Matmea to justify Rabbi Lozar. Eloma Rav Mi Barnish. Now here we turn to Daf Chav Ches Amid Beis. Asya V'Kal V'Chomer Mi Notza Shel Izim. Right, we have Tzemer of Izim, the wool on the back of a goat. And now you made a Beged out of a Notza Shel Izim, out of the fleece, I don't know what you call it, the wool on the back of the goat, she'ein mitame b'negoyim, and yet it's not mitame b'negoyim, because in the parash of negoyim it says tzemer u'pishtim. The only two materials that make up a beged, as far as tumas negoyim is considered beged negodim, are tzemer u'pishtim, and tzemer means tzemer from a sheep, and not the wool of a goat. So this wool of a goat, if you make it into a beged, would not be metame tumas negoyim. Now, let's say you took the wool of a goat and you made it into an oel. You made it into a curtain. It's metame b'ol ames. Why? Because we learned the gzeirah shav of oel from Mishkan. And the oil in the Mishkan, the second level, was made of urios of izim, of the tzemer off the back of the goat. And therefore, it constitutes an oil over the Mishkan, and by virtue of the Gzeirah Shavah, therefore, would constitute an oil as far as contracting Tumas Mes is concerned. Is therefore Arbe Matmea, Shemetame Begodim, Eino Din Shemetame Viola Mes. If you take the R of a non-kosher animal, and the non-kosher animal is included in the parasha of Nigei Begadim, whereas the wool of a goat, since it's not Tzemer Pishton, is not included in Tumas Negoim in Nigei Begadim. So that we see the Torah is being more machmir in the R of Bei Matmea, because we had that special ribui that Oba R, Riba R Bei Matmea, that is Tumas Negoim in an R Bei Matmea, then how much more so, Eino Din Shemitama Bi Olames. Certainly, it should contract the tumah of an oel ames. So this is Rava Mi Barnish, and that seems to be the final conclusion. The only problem is that we have Rav Yosef to deal with, because Rav Yosef had the statement that lo hukshul lemleches shamayim ela or bei matorah bilvat, and yet we're using the or bei matmea. Just 1 second. The next Gemara, which we'll have to cover in a separate Shia, addresses a principle called Maida Hava Hava, which means that we're not interested right now in determining what could be used for the Mishkan. The Tachash was a one-time deal. It existed only for Moshe Rabbeinu. So to discuss the fact that the tochash could be used for the Yiriel Samishkan because it's a Behema Tahora, that doesn't make any sense. So this principle of kol lo hukshru l'mlech ha-shmayim el or Behema Tahora has to have some application halach l'maisa. It can't be a discussion about tochash, because that's my Dahava Hava. That only existed at that one moment in history. And there's no need for the fancy formulation about what could be kosher for Melechus Shemayim. You need a kosher animal, and the hides have to come from Beit Matora. That has to have some repercussions. So that Pelei Neder will be the next discussion.